Welcome to Waking Up with Melissa, a podcast that takes a deep dive into personal development, spirituality, and how to grow your online business. I'm your host, Melissa Ruiz, a spiritual and mindset business coach for all conscious healers out there. Stay tuned every week while I share insight on how to balance your business and also stay in alignment with your higher self. I truly feel that we all uniquely possess all the things we are seeking if we simply allow ourselves to surrender, to be present, and to take action in our lives. Welcome back to Waking Up with Melissa. We have a special, beautiful guest by the name of Amy Lee, a transformational coach. I'm going to let her introduce herself. We've been friends, former student, and I have been following your journey for now. What is it, Amy? Like, it has to be at least a year and a half, though, right?
I think two.
Two.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you. I feel like growing up on social media, because I remember when we first started working together, you had told me that you had been doing your influencing thing, your YouTube stuff. So what's life like that? Because I feel like so many people are content creators now, and you've been doing this for a minute.
Yeah, for a very long time. And mental health effects to show for it, which you know some about, like I told you a lot. But hello, thank you for having me. I'm a transformational life coach, and also previous like content creator influencer, mainly on YouTube for the past 11 to 12 years. I started when I was 17. I just turned 29.
Okay, stop. Wait, I didn't know it was that long. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
I started junior year of my high school. And I was thinking about that today. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want it to be like that I lived most of my life on the internet versus the life that I lived before it. So I thought this was a good time, or 2 years ago was a good time to quit or transition into coaching because it just felt more aligned. But growing up on the internet, it kind of just happened. I think now people know that you can make a lot of money and that there's some type of clout, you know, attached to it. But at the time that I started, YouTube had just been bought by Google. I was making $5 a month from the YouTube Partner Program. And I was like, holy cow, like $5, like that's so amazing. And I also started on Windows Movie Maker, so not even a MacBook. And the video quality just kept getting just shredded to pieces, and everything would shut down on my mom's PC. And I was begging her, can I please get a MacBook? And growing up with an immigrant mom who didn't have a lot of money, she was like, we have money for you to get a MacBook for college, but not at any moment sooner than that. And this was when I was 17, junior year. So I still had one more year before I could get like iMovie and Final Cut. But I was crying, and I don't know. I think my aunt, who's like my second mom, talked to her, and then she got me the MacBook, and then all this happened. So yeah, at the peak of my career, I had 500,000 subscribers, and I still post on Instagram and TikTok, but for the most part, it's just to help people and to get the message and the mission out. It's not really about like my apartment or what kind of shoes I'm wearing. I mean, I might be wearing cool shoes, but it's not really about me as much anymore. I still share a lot about my life, but I think having to do everything for external validation, I told you in coaching when I was getting coached by you that it's a lot like being a puppet or a monkey with its master. You know, they say, you know, if you get a lot of views on one video, you just have to keep doing that. And it's a one trick pony. There's not very much growth other than like viral growth. But I'm talking about spiritual, emotional, psychological growth. You're just kind of the same person over and over again. And it just kind of sucked my soul. I'm like a very gentle, soft person. You know that, Melissa? It almost tore me apart. Like, I feel like had I not had spiritual awakening therapy, like so many different tools to get out of it, I don't think I would be as normal as I am today, just because it's everything is instantaneous. Like with social media, which is probably why I like it, you can get, you post something and then you can get like a whole 50, you know, 50 shades of foundation all delivered to your door the next day. Like, you go on a shoot, someone's trying to tie my shoes. Well, I remember the first time that happened to me when I was 18. I was like, stop it, get off. Like, I'm like, I should stop. Like, you know, so it just really big egos. And I definitely still have a huge ego because of that. But I think I'm just trying to lease it.
No, oh my God, this is so good. I have so many questions. What shifted? Was there a moment? Because there's two things that are coming up for me right now. It's like, one, everybody's trying to get there. And so it's so beautiful to hear what it feels like when you're there and you're just like, no, I'm trying to get off of this thing. And so the question really is, did you find yourself in a moment where everything shifted, or was there any specific job where they were asking you for too much? Because it seems like you kind of were at this place where a lot of content creators want to be. And so what shifted for you?
I think it's just having lived it, it's kind of a more of a slow, gradual death. That's why I feel like I do wish people to go on that journey. If you feel that that's what is intuitively called to you and you genuinely love creating content, I think everyone should pursue it just to know that you've lived that cycle out. Like, I am so grateful for that. I have no resentment. Actually, now because I'm out of it, I'm like, dude, that was crazy. Like, I got to go to Cindy Crawford's compound. I got to go to New York Fashion Week. I was like 21 with Tresemme. Like, I lived a whole life and it was so glamorous and fabulous. And so I have more gratitude now that I'm not in it. I was still grateful during all of it, but I think that you kind of just have to, everyone's on social media. So everyone just on a normal level understands like how difficult or how off you can feel if something, you know, doesn't go the way you planned. So maybe it's likes or engagement, all these things. Like, we all know that it does something to our psyche, right? Like, even if you just post a photo of your vacation. So getting that amplified with having that be your livelihood, how you make money, also the fame or public eye aspect of it, it just becomes more amplified. So I do think that there is a toll that it takes on everyone's mental health just to be on social media, technology in general. So when you're doing that for your job, your full-time job, and you can have a normal 9-to-5 desk job, and there's still a lot of pressure with that job. I got to show up right. I got to be the best, you know, whatever worker I can be. So when you couple that with just the effects of social media and showing up on there, I think there's a lot, it's a perfect storm for a lot of different mental illnesses, honestly. So I have high functioning anxiety and I was depressed for like 2 to 3 years, but I'm not sure if social media was the culprit of that, but it definitely didn't help. So it's like, I think people should do it though, because if you feel called to it, not for the money, you need to do it. Like, I loved doing it while I was in it. And then just slowly but surely, it just started to feel more and more draining. And that's when I knew, like, let's leave. Because I still love how much passion I had for it in the beginning. And so leaving it, I feel like I was mourning, like, a passion. I was mourning the death of loving something so much because I don't love it as much anymore.
So tell me about the shift. So you shift from being a content creator on YouTube and then you discovered coaching.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I think that was divinely guided or ordained too, because I don't even know how I got here. I mean, that's how I feel with everything, even with YouTube. Like, I don't know how it turned into all this. But my journey kind of just started. I had got out of what I know now as an emotionally abusive relationship at 22. And that kind of just caused a lot of, or didn't cause, it was the catalyst to a lot of like high functioning depression, anxiety. I started picking up a spirituality book. I started learning to meditate. I think I first started reading Osho, which is controversial. And then I went to therapy, and I just, as I was learning all these spiritual concepts, I was sharing it with my audience. So I feel like even on YouTube, for the past 7 years, I was coaching. I just was doing it without, you know, I guess a tuition or fee. It was for free. And I was like, wow, like, I really love this. I love helping people. I love sharing what I'm learning along this journey. And I also kind of just feel like if my issues and my pain could skip a few steps for someone else, I'll go first. Like, it's totally fine. So I just started doing that on YouTube with the AM with Amy. I was doing my makeup and then talking about mother wound, narcissistic abuse. And then I saw on Instagram this business coach who I had no idea what a business coach was, but she was an ex-therapist. And I followed so many therapists at that time. And I just kept rereading her page. Her Instagram kept pushing her stuff to me. I think I've been following her since she was a viral therapy account. And I signed up to that, do that program. I had no idea what coaching was. It was all about just how to become a coach. And I kind of felt like, what am I doing here? Did I order the wrong program? Should I ask for a refund? I was very confused. That's why the whole 3 months, I was just kind of like learning about it all and learning about this community. I started following more coaches. I saw your seminar in the program. I followed you. And I was like, there's this whole world that I don't know about of like spiritual healers and leaders and just baddies around the world. And I was like, I just felt so late to the club. I finished that program. I was still unsure. I was like, man, I don't know what to do. Did I just waste $5,000? And then I had a stalker, 65-year-old neighbor. I genuinely got suicidal because he lived right underneath me. I dyed my hair red. I got a skeleton tattoo. I was going through it. And then I had a voice in my head saying, you can't die a YouTuber. You've got to go out and help people. So I did. I went to go find you. And then I did your 6-month program. And that was a whirlwind. We were in Tulum. I honestly think about that time in Tulum with you. And I'm like, that was sober psychedelics. Like, it was crazy. And yeah, with you, I got to like launch my programs. And I'm still doing that. And right now I'm still figuring out the next evolution and the next level up in my life. And yeah, the 20s are very painful. I'm sure you can tell me that. Everyone could tell me that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to make it out alive. Like, it's a lot, but you know what I'm going through, like, behind the scenes. But yeah, honestly, I genuinely am so grateful for the first coach because it delivered everything that she said she would. But then more than that, it led me to you. And that one just got knocked out of the park because I also got a mentor and a friend and just someone that I could talk to about the industry and just be like aliens with, because I just feel like we're two Martians that landed on this planet.
A planet Earth, and we're like, what is this? What do we do now?
Yeah.
Well, Amy, I love you. Don't make me cry on a podcast. Tell me about your mission and your vision, because I know that you mentioned that. And so I want people to get really clear on, once you transitioned, what is it that you're into now? I know transformational mentor, leader, coach is something that you really identify with, and why?
Yeah, so it just is my own personal journey, which I think is the most powerful medicine you can have, is to walk the walk, not just read all the books, listen to all the podcasts, and, you know, do all the programs, which I feel like my imposter syndrome was definitely a victim of because I got certified. But honestly, I think it helped. But I think what really helps you and what makes you the real deal is how you live your life and how you show up and what, you know, what rings of fire you've gone through. So I call myself a transformational coach because my audience, you know, I've grown up on the internet for the past 12 years. So they got to see the many transformations, like not just the hair colors and the different career transitions. But my audience, the ones that have been following me for the whole 12 years, they're like, wow, you've changed like 4 different times, like 5 different times. I don't even think I'm the person that I was last year. So I want young people, actually, it's not even young people, you could be whoever, but just people to come to me and know that maybe you're in point A, but you want to be in maybe point C or D, and we just need to get through all the middle parts to get you there. I say transformation because, you know, I'm not a huge fan of like the weight loss photos, like, oh, here's my weight loss transformation. I'm here to get your internal transformation, meaning mindset, trauma, like limiting beliefs, spiritual energetics, like how are you connected to what your belief system is about? And then getting you to feel good about yourself, which is why I call it transformative self-esteem, because from high self-esteem, you can show up in any which way, right? Like a lot of people, you know, you can have your dream life, but which I definitely did. But if you still have so much unresolved trauma, or you're doing it for external validation, like the money, the car, the job, the followers, they actually just build a bigger hole for more self-validation to, like, external validation to come in, you know? So that's why I do think that's like kind of the hole that you're bearing with content or being an influencer. It's like, oh, more followers for me to fill up this gaping hole in my life to make it bigger. And, you know, so it's about how you feel about what you've created And so that's why I think the transformation has to be internal. We have to do the work to feel good about what looks good, you know, not just, oh, I have a nice car. But if you feel like a piece of shit, the car is a piece of shit. So that's why I call myself transformation, because the transformations should feel good. And I didn't do all this work to stay the same. And I want all my clients and audience members to know it's good if someone goes, you've changed. I'm like, good. I didn't do all this work for me to just look and be that same old me, you know?
Yes, I love that. Okay, so one thing that really stood out as you were sharing all of this, first of all, I'm like smiling from the inside because I'm like, you get it. Everything is happening from the inside out. And we see so much of this on the internet, people just showing their highlight reels and, you know, making all this money and doing all the things, which, by the way, I'm a fan of all of that. Like, literally, like, live your life, bitch. I love it. It's amazing. Go be a baddie. Because we also didn't come here to be basic either or to suffer. But remember that the real glow up is internal. So let's start to shift and talk about your upbringing, because I know you mentioned about your immigrant parents, and I feel like me and you always connect on that and we riff back and forth. But yeah, what were the things that came up for you as you navigated that and entrepreneurship?
Oh man.
I know. I'm like,
let's take it back to the Korean War. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I think the main thing that I was cycling out or just trying to grow through especially when I met you. Actually, when I met you, I feel like I was aware of it. But when I came to learn from you as a student, I feel like it wasn't in my awareness as much as it should have been. And so by the time I was done working with you, that became my main goal, is to stop working myself to the bone, to the point of it's like having myself in a chokehold. Like, it's do or die. You have to work hard. Like, working hard is beautiful if it feels empowering and it actually kind of energizes you to work hard. I totally, when you're lit up and it feels good and it's in alignment and you've got a lot of sleep, that's when working hard feels amazing. And I love giving 200% to almost everything I do. But I think what I adopted from my mom and probably like all my ancestors is just, and being Korean, that's like definitely a Korean work ethic, is just kind of being, you're kind of like a slave master, like, and like whipping yourself on the back to perform and to do things and to do them at like a 500% capacity, to the point where I used to vomit and like get actually really sick from overworking myself. And it's just because of low self-esteem or feeling scared or feeling like it's not going to work out or feeling like I don't deserve rest. So something I always tell myself is I'm resting for the ancestors. And I actually had a whole wall of affirmations. I'm looking at one right now. And it was inspired from working with you. I wrote, my success has nothing to do with working long hours or trying to be the best at something. My success has everything to do with operating in balance, capital letters, with presence and from intuition in complete alignment with my values. And I had like five others taped on my wall, but I was like, girl, you only need one. Like, let's like fold away and put the rest in your journal. If they need to come back out, I'll do that. But I had a lot more, Melissa, to like really reprogram my just programming around like working so hard. And yeah, like I went on a 2-month break last year for the first time in 10 years, inspired by how you take like a quarter off, I think. I don't know. I was like, this lady is insane. What's she on? Like, I need the same thing. So I did that. But Melissa, it was the hardest 2 months of my life. I like broke down crying. I was like, I feel like I need to work. Like, I was in the beach in Mazunte, Oaxaca, and I would literally like have anxiety about like
working.
Yeah, or relaxing on the beach. I'm like, I have to go inside right now. I'm gonna lose everything. Like, all my money's gonna go to the floor. And then I was just like, I had to look myself in the mirror and just go, breathe. Like, if that's what you have to do to get all this money, we don't want that money. And I was like, you're at the beach, you feel good, you deserve rest. We'll figure it out when we get out of vacation, and just relax. And then it was like a flip was switched. I was like swimming in the ocean. I was like head deep, and I got so tan. and ate a lot of good food, but it was a lot for me just to even learn how to relax. And I feel like I'm still learning how to do that, but I'm way better than when I first met you.
You all doing that. This is a deep energetic programming that has happened for hundreds of years of this working hard. But I will say, you know, it's also cultural too, especially for us Latinos. It's the same way, because they teach us that we get paid the lowest and we have to work the hardest. So when you hear that a lot, you just become a slave to that narrative. And it does become a trauma response. It becomes this like high that you start to chase. And, you know, I'm so happy that as we work together, it was something that was brought up in you, because I believe that all people, when they decide to work with me, they really need to sit down. It's like they want to come for the strategy and they want to come to do something else. But what they really learn is the things that actually have been tearing them apart inside. And it's always, you know, this feeling of having to do more or feeling like things are going to fall apart. And I do think about, you know, our time in Tulum. Amy came to our mastermind retreat and we hung out afterwards for 3 or 4 magical days. And it was just so beautiful, right? Because we were just flowing, no schedule. And it's like, that's how life really should be. It should just feel like we're trusting and we're surrendering to each moment. And so I really appreciate our time. And I always remember that too. I feel like we keep sending each other pictures from Tulum.
Yeah. And I remember, like, even when you invited me, like the hotel that Melissa took me to was a lot of money. Like it was like $1,000, maybe $1,300 a night in Tulum. So, but it was really beautiful. And I had my own pool, like my own pool in my own room.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Like not like it's a private mini pool on your balcony, guys. So anyways, but I remember just like even just learning if I should go on the trip or not learning. I was exactly as flustered as I am now, even just talking about the story, because it's coming all back to me. Like, I just felt so anxious. I was like, oh my God, like, am I going to really spend like $4,000 on like 4 days? Like, all these things came up. And I remember you were like, I know. And you were like, don't look at me. Like, just like, if it doesn't feel good for you, don't come. Like, and I was just like, okay, so she's not pressuring me. And like, she genuinely is like, I'm going to go either way. So let me know. And that actually was like, I was like, oh my God, this is even more flustering, you know, because I was like, she's not even pressuring me. She's not like trying to bribe me with anything. But I ended up going, and honestly, best, like, I don't even know how much money I spent, best money I've ever spent, like truly the time of my life. And I always know how I feel because I feel so deeply about things. Like, I love to love. And my favorite thing that I told my best friend, Rainalyn, is I love that Melissa always lets me know how much she loved the trip too. Like, that's really, really nice. Like, you do, you always let me know. You're like, oh my God, I thought this my client was you, but she was a pink hair. And I'm like, she's literally thinking about me when she's probably with like someone else. And I was like, oh, it's so nice to know that. I know I love things, but I'm like, I never know. I'm like, oh, was it just me? Like, did the person not like it that much? But you always let me know. You're like, oh my God, Tulum, we need to do it again. Which I agree, we need to do it again. And like, just have our own, it was a truly quality time. So I really appreciated it. And I look back on the videos and I'm like, man, that was like a psychedelic. Like, I feel like I was on LSD, but it was completely sober.
Sober. Yeah. And I would just get up and I'm like, okay, this is complete. Goodbye. And you're like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of just this thread of community that's really being brought up. And yeah, thank you for saying that, because, you know, this mentoring space, the thing that makes it so transformational for me is that you can tell somebody you love them. And you can tell somebody that they mean something to you. And I think when we talk about the energy of love, that changes everything. No shade to therapists, okay? Because I have a lot of my therapy clients and I truly love the brain stuff. I'm obsessed with the way our physical body works, the way our mental body works, the way our spiritual body works. But there's nothing more healing than sisterhood and community. And when human beings gather together and see one another, not for any hierarchy or because you're this role and I'm this role, but just as two alien human beings.
Yeah.
Hybrids.
Yes, starseed queens. No, I agree. Even with this therapy thing, like, I love my therapist, but I can't tell her that. Like, it just feels so awkward. Like, I feel like she'll be like, I know she loves me too. Like, so I don't need to say it, but I feel like I would say, I love you, Dr. Kim. And then she'd be like, thank you. Because it's not in the, you know, regulation. So I'm like, I'm just not going to say it, but I feel it. And I know she feels it too, because that bitch has saved my life. So, like, multiple times. So I agree with that. Like, this is a space where we're able to say how we feel and mean what we say, say what we mean, and also to see other like-minded people in this community. Like, I love to see people thrive and succeed, and I just know, like, there's this quote that I saw. It was like, I will always clap for people, like, and then I will patiently wait when it's my time to be clapped for. And I feel like that's like my whole life, which, like, tons of people clap for me, but that's not what I'm saying. Anyways, I don't know how I'm here. I love to cheer people on. That's literally all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, and that there is a sutra in the Sutra of Patanjali where he talks about that there are four different kinds of people. And he talks about wicked people, and he talks about all different types of people. But there's one that he calls virtuous people, which is basically the people who are doing the things that you want. And he said the key to meeting this person, he gives you a key to meet every single person. And he says the key to meeting somebody who's virtuous is to clap for them, to be delighted for them, because when you become them, and you will become them, because if you see somebody's greatness, it's like a future projection. It's like your inner being is telling you, look at that person on a TEDx stage. Don't be jealous, because you're going to be there too if you follow this path. And so it's good. And if you clap for this person, then when you're them, that's how people will meet you. And I think that's such a beautiful way to always look at life and to just let go of this like competition, let go of comparing. You know, we are truly in an era of Aquarian energy. We are truly in an era of things changing and us being the first. And so let's get into that, because I know that you are the first in your family to really start going into healing and trauma. And how has that been? And how did that help you with your clients too?
A lot of my clients are so diverse, which when I first started doing discovery calls, I started crying because I was like, I have people from
my
background. Yeah, like I was like, wow, like this is awesome, because that just means a lot to me. But it means a lot to me because, like, that's what the world needs, you crazy fuckers. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a lot. But I'm crying also because I'm very full of gratitude that these people come to me because they see something about myself reflected back in them. But most of my clients, if not all, are probably first or second generation of immigrant parents, whether that's like Nigerian or Russian or Korean. I feel like they're pretty much just a reflection of me. Probably much, I don't know, just been through so much trauma and inherited so many different limiting beliefs about money, creativity, career, love, relationships. And I always work with people through like socioeconomic, so we're talking about class too, and also race and cultural. And I also work with them from a deeply spiritual perspective too, because I think that's all what really informed how I got to where I am. As that's why I really loved my first coach too, because she was Cuban, I don't know, but she was Latina, and you know, you are too. So I also tried to be more conscious of like who my leaders are and what type of women I want to support in this space. That's not to say that, you know, I just work with women of color. I've worked with so many different people, but I just feel like our stories are more similar and we're all more connected than we think. So that's kind of just how, I don't even remember what the question is. I just cried and it all went out the window, but I think I answered it.
You did. Like how growing up, being the daughter of immigrants has affected your work, because I know it's affected my work, right? I feel like for me, I see myself as the first person that's breaking these generational financial barriers, and also not just with money. I mean, to be honest with you, like, money's
everything.
Yeah, it's everything, but it's also like the least of my concerns. Like, I really got into this work because I really wanted to find peace within myself. And our parents only had limited resources, and their resources were very visible, right? And that's why we learned how to do that working hard thing.
Yeah.
Because they weren't going to get any money with peace and joy coming to this country. Like, what? No, they got to get to work, and they're putting their kids to work. And so it's informed a lot of the ways that I show up, and it's informed a lot of the ways that my clients are attracted to me. And so, yeah, you did answer it, Amy. Thank you so much. Tell us how people can work with you and what type of scenarios and things that you move through with your students.
I am mainly a life coach because I could do all the buckets because it's a foundational root thing, and then we build from that. Like, we have to re-root everything, and then the branches and the leaves are maybe your, you know, toxic relationships or your poverty consciousness. Like, those are the branches, but we're trying to get to the roots. So honestly, I say transformation because you want to transform your whole life, but that all starts from your within. So it's really hard to explain what I do, but I've helped people beat addiction, leave like 10-year-long awful relationships, pursue their, like, leave their 9-to-5 corporate jobs to pursue creative pursuits. So whatever it is you're looking for, we go on the call to figure out, oh, can I help this person? Like, what are their limiting beliefs? What kinds of things have they gone through? And then from there, I invite them to work with me. There are some people that I do, you know, turn away just because I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I have the right expertise. So it's definitely not just for money. Also, when I said it's everything for you, Melissa, I said, like, it's everything else, and the money is just the symptom or the outcome of transforming all that's within. I didn't mean like the money is everything. Like, money is something, that's for sure. But I don't mean money is everything. Ew, I would never say such a thing. But money is a beautiful side effect when you are in alignment with your truth. Like, I truly believe that. Because, yeah. So they can find me at tobeseenandsafe.com and at Amy_Lee. I'm doing one-to-one coaching right now, like maybe 2 spots potentially open. But my group coaching is at a pause just because I'm on the precipice of, you know, transforming my life yet again. I have no idea what it's going to look like, but I've been going through hell and back for the past 8 months. So I will report back to you then, but that's how you can find me and work with me. Yes.
Yes. One thing I want to just speak into the space is that you are a motherfucking warrior. I think what really has just stood out in this conversation is the changes, the ebbs, the flows, the transformation, and the ability and the gift that you have given us to see somebody who has been on the internet for how long, and then just shift and move. And I think that's so beautiful because right now the market is exploding, and there is this excitement. There's this excitement to create, and you're giving us a glimpse of not abandoning ourselves. That's really what I got from the conversation. And to just allow yourself to change over and over and over and over and over and over until you get it right. But there is no getting it right because you can't get it wrong.
Mic drop.
Amy, I love you. Thank you for hanging out with us. Humans, namaste. I will see you in the next episode.
Bye. Thank you. Breathe.